Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word that you've prepared in my heart, God. I thank you that it stirred my heart to stretch me, to challenge me, and to grow me. And Father, I pray that you would do the same in your people, everyone in the room, and all those watching online. And everyone said, amen, amen. Happy birthday to Patrick. Are you in the room? I only know through Facebook. Whose birthday, if we're not Facebook friends? Patrick. Oh, I thought it was Friday. Whose birthday was this past weekend? Give a quick hand up. Happy birthday. Yep. Happy birthday. Steph and Candace, yep. Happy birthday. Very good. Well, every year we come around the start of the year, a Miracle Offering Sunday, provision for the vision. And it, you know, our tithes and our offerings, they really just cover the wages, the rent, the overheads. And then the Miracle Offering Sunday, the idea behind that is we want to expand the kingdom. Because who knows that we're actually called to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That God is looking for from us when we step into glory and stand before Him in judgment as believers. There's a different judgment in scriptures for believers, and it's not a condemning one. In the translation in the Greek, it actually just means decision. He will decide our works, whether when it's tested in the fire, if it's made out of wood, hay, or straw, and it'll be burnt up, and yes, we'll still go to heaven, or He will decide through the fire if our works will be like that of gold and silver, refined, standing the test of time. And so our Miracle Offering Sunday, we always look to expand the kingdom. And some things that we're looking to do this year is to grow this family, no doubt. Locally, we're looking at another location in Victoria. There's another one about to pop up in Queensland. And in the coming future as well, to touch the nations. But how we touch the nations now, some of the giving that we're going to be giving to is to this beautiful group of people from Iris Global. That's Mike Hosking and I. Give us a wave, Mikey. We were at Iris Gweru base in Zimbabwe, October last year, and run by Mama Elizabeth, this beautiful farm, orphanage, and a school of 200 students, and they've only been going for about 2 years. And what we're looking to help support in part of our giving, because we give a tithe on this miracle offering to overseas missions and local missions as well, is, I think it's a video. No need for sound. They're looking to build another classroom and also toilet as the school is expanding. And so that exercise is not cheap. That's a little pig pen, isn't it, Mike? Or a goat pen. Raise up the goats for a nice little feast if you like your goat. And here's Mike running around with the kids as well. I'll pop up if it does. If it doesn't, it's all good. And then what we're looking at locally is we're looking to this year partner Street Peace. We love Jay Schelling and Beck Schelling and crew. If you're from Street Peace, give us a holler. Reaching the troubled youth of Frankston and the surrounding areas as well. They have really seen the need and the burden that Frankston City is experiencing with youth crime. And I just heard this past Wednesday at the Ministers Network gathering. Jay in the building at the moment. You might be here tonight. He shared some stats. Natalie, you can probably know it off the top of your head. But there's been a reduction in adult crime from 18 to 25. How much by? 30% in the city of Frankston. Because youth who would typically go into a life of crime, they're now being stopped at the gates of hell through the Street Peace team. They're showing the narrow path of life, becoming Christians, being discipled, and now living for God. So there's a material impact in the region, and we want to continue to champion and support Street Peace. Locally as well, we have a food bank here. If you haven't seen, just around the corner is our local food bank run by Gina. Oh, by the way, sorry, in regards to Gweru, that region, they also support 14 prisons. Is that right, Mike? And we want to get Bibles to those prisoners as well. Now, this is just a quick snapshot I took of our Common Shelf lineup. This was about, I think, 3 weeks ago. And the need with the cost of living is really being felt in the community. In January, we supported 174 adults, 59 children, and 12 pets. Cats and dogs need support too, amen. In February, 210 adults, 73 children, and 4 pets so far this month. And we're now also in 4 local schools doing food pickup runs from Aldi. Thank you, Glenn and Amber, Fred Anderson, and all those involved. Reaching 4 schools where we get food that has just got one day shelf life on it, or it doesn't look pretty for the buyer. So they, rather than chucking it out, these guys faithfully pick it up every week, place it on a table, and by the end of the day, all that table is cleared, fresh food, fresh meat, delivered to some locals in this area. And so we want to continue to resource the Common Shelf to help make sure those shelves are filled with food as the need is continuing to increase. So we want to say thank you, church. This is where the giving is going. It's going to go to expanding what we do as a local church body. We are touching all generations, young and old, in between business communities, people coming off drugs and addictive lifestyles and prison and families. We're just, as much as we can, as the Lord leads us, we're doing everything we can to bring the gospel into this world. And so we give God all the glory for that. Amen? Amen. God is good. And all the time. That's a bit of an old school thing for all you seasoned Pentecostals and Christians. So today, let's go to the Word. We're a miracle offering Sunday. And let's turn to Luke chapter 16, verse 9 to 13. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. Everyone say faithful in much. Say faithful in little and faithful in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? Everyone say true riches. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Other translations translate this word into money. But in the original meaning and context, it is more than money. Jesus used the term mammon 3 out of the 4 times in the scriptures. And the other account is in the book of Matthew. We see that Jesus was actually addressing a spirit of mammon. And in the Aramaic, this word mammon means riches. It comes from the Syrian god of riches, which dates all the way back to Babylon. You remember Babylon, when people thought to themselves, we have it within our own strength and our own means, with our own riches, to build ourselves a tower to reach God, that we don't actually need God, we just can look to ourselves. The spirit of mammon is in fact in conflict with the Spirit of God, because the spirit of mammon says, I am self-reliant. That the spirit of mammon will actually say that I don't need God. If I've got money, I'm sorted. Thank you, God. We're all good. It's actually a prideful and arrogant spirit that doesn't lean in on the dependency of God. And this is the spirit that Jesus is addressing. The spirit of mammon. Babylon. You remember Babylon. What happened to Babylon? God had to confuse that situation. Babylon. If you say it slow enough, they just babble on. You might think of a neighbor that babbles on. Don't nudge them at this point. You might think it's me. Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. By the way, This is something I've never preached on before. I've drawn a lot of inspiration from Pastor Robert Morris in his book, The Blessed Life, which we touched on in the past. But I thought, wow, this part of it is quite amazing. And so Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. Mammon is looking for servants. Mammon is asking for servants to be loyal to its spirit, because if it's loyal to its spirit, it knows it will despise God, your true provider, your true carer. Amen? We find ourselves in the Western church in particular, the prosperity gospel that you should give to get. That if you give to God, you will have a Mercedes, or if you give enough, maybe a Ferrari, a nice double-story house, and a family collection of Rolexes. Give to get, give to get, give to God to get. The problem with this idea is it still operates under the spirit of mammon. Because if anything goes wrong, if you're giving to God and then there's a crisis in your finances, what happens is you blame God, because you think God is your cash cow and your cash machine, your ATM, because I've done this, you should do this for me, right? It says that if we choose mammon, we expect this thing from God. Rather than God actually saying to us, would you trust me with your finances? There's a difference between having an entitlement spirit and saying, God, didn't I give this? Now you give me this. There's a stark difference between, God, I worship you, I love you, whatever you want, this is all yours. Like King David said, when at the end of his life, when he was about to pass into eternity, he realized he needed to set up something for the next generation. And so it says in, I think it was 1 Chronicles or 2 Chronicles, that he gave out of his personal treasuries and he said, all that I have comes from your hand anyway. The scholars believe if you equate what he gave to building the temple, it equates to about $21 billion that set up the construction of the temple of the Lord where the presence of God would be housed. And that blessed the Israelites, the people of God, from generation to generation, all the way down to King Jesus, where he was found by his parents at the age of 12, speaking with the Jewish teachers of that day, where the early church met at Solomon's Colonnade. And so, yes, also part of our giving today, later on, we'll go towards Claim the Land. We'll have two separate areas you can choose from as you feel led by the Spirit to give either or both to the Miracle Fund or the Claim the Building offering. An update on that. We've raised so far $140,000 to buy this property, and we need at least another $300,000 just for a deposit to take out a loan of all in all, roughly about $1.2 million to take out a loan to put our stakes permanently in this ground for the generations to come. Amen. No longer paying rent and at the mercy of will we stay here or not, will we get kicked out. So we want to say thank you for your generosity so far. That's where our giving, part of today's giving, will go to as well. Is this okay? All right. So the prosperity gospel says give to get, give to get, give to get. Whereas what the Bible says is trust God with your finances. Give and see that he will not throw open the windows of heaven. Let God direct his blessing the way he wants it to be directed. Amen? Mammon promises us things that only God can give us. Mammon promises us identity, security, significance, happiness, joy, and peace. Only God can give these things. How many times have you seen it in Hollywood or perhaps rich business people in the world where they have billions, millions of dollars, but there isn't peace within their hearts and in their minds? And sadly, some of them ending their lives early because money doesn't give you true peace. It's only God. Money doesn't satisfy the deep recesses of our hearts. Only God does that. And that's why God wants us to trust him with this, because he knows the traps of money, the spirit of mammon. It can actually capture our heart And remember, Jesus said, you'll either be loyal to one or despise the other, thinking that you will get your significance, you think you will have your heart filled if you have a certain amount of money. And some of you are thinking, well, you know, I don't have that issue because I don't have that much money. And if I can say this with love, if we have that attitude and to what Jesus had taught about, if you're unfaithful with the little, you won't be faithful with the much. God actually wants us to be entrusted with His resources, to do all those amazing things that I've just talked about, to touch the nations with the gospel, to see a 30, 60, 100-fold return of our life for the gospel. Amen? So mammon wants to rule, but it can never keep its promises. Only God can provide these things. Mammon is linked to the Antichrist spirit. And you're wondering, well, how is it linked to the Antichrist spirit? Well, the Antichrist doesn't rule through the threat of nuclear war. Otherwise, we'd be all bowing down now to Kim Jong-un and North Korea. And we'll have North Korean flags everywhere, right? We don't bow down to the threat of nuclear war. Mammon rules through the idea that you can't have what you need. The spirit of the Antichrist in the end times will say, if you don't take the mark of the beast, you cannot buy or sell and provide for yourself or your family. Is that right? It rules through the spirit of Mammon saying, if you don't do a certain thing, remember, it's looking for servants, you will be loyal to it and despise what God has said in His word. There was a glimpse and a preview of this during the last 3 years. And to a point, and hear me out, we're a church that honors godly authority, a government, who God has appointed to look after us, and there's rules and regulations that we need to adhere to. But if it starts to cross the line to say that you can't actually do the work of God, to set people free from their captivity, to disciple them, then that's where we have to draw the line. And so I think it was in 2021 when segregation stepped into our city, the longest lockdown city in the world. Give yourselves a pat on the back. You made it through. It's a badge of honor. You lived through the longest city that was locked down in the world, longer than North Korea. Oh man, don't you wish you were North Koreans at that time? I'm kidding. But when segregation came in, and God had directed it to myself and Jess not to take it, the vaccine. I really don't care if you took it. None of my business. But for us personally, it was not for something to do. We tried to go to a cafe. We were turned away because we didn't have the green tick. And I was weeping and I was crying. I said to Jess, why am I crying over a stupid cafe? And then the Lord said, I needed you to feel this. So when it comes to my house, and in those doors, you will never turn anyone away, regardless of what the laws are, regardless of what the fines are. So I ran Pastor Dan, who started Fire Church, is in Queensland now. He was here last week. He enjoyed his ministry last week. And I said, Pastor Dan, we've gone to the protest, Parliament steps multiple times. We tried to push back on this pandemic bill. We're now going to face a $100,000 fine if we let people in and they don't have that green tick. What do you want to do? And I loved his response. He said, I don't care if the fines are $100,000 or $1 million, we'll never turn anyone away. Because we do not serve the spirit of mammon, we serve the true and living God. Amen? So come hell or high water, we'll not bow down to mammon, we're not loyal to mammon, we are loyal to our King and what He's asked us to do. And respectfully, no one died of the disease in this church, and no one died from the vaccine. Praise God for that as well. Amen. You are called to be loyal to the Spirit of God and His commands. I've got a very special friend here. Can you stand up, Cleo? Stand up. Yeah, Cleo, stand up. Give everyone away. I've got permission to share this. Another rule, right? I've heard it said recent times, good people break bad rules. This is why I felt the need to have Mayor Nathan Conroy on this platform here last week, because I've got to know the man before this seat of Dunkley opportunity came about, way before this came about. He's now running for the seat, and I found out last year that he's actually a man of God. a devout Catholic man that hates woke agenda, all that kind of stuff, same values as we carry. And he just wants to improve the lives of people in the city of Frankston and things like that, right? And behind all that, he actually carries godly values versus his candidate opponents who are self-proclaimed socialists, and even in the main party that he's up against, are self-proclaimed socialists. And so more government overreach, more government control is essentially what we're looking down the barrel of. So, reason why I say that is he believes 100% that Christians need to be looked after more because there is a persecution on the church, and he is the man that will stand for all of this stuff to fight against the woke ideologies and policies. We aren't loyal to the systems of this world. We are loyal to this, to God himself and what he requires from us, because when I stand before God in judgment, and remember, for the believer, it's a decision in what we have done. I don't want to hear the words, you could have done that, but you feared man. You could have done this, but you had the spirit of mammon. You were more concerned about fines and money than you were concerned about my kingdom and my lost children. Let it be said of us that we value God and his people more than we value money. Amen. Our riches will come and go. I heard a pastor say when he was in Bible college, he had a friend that was just a little bit radical. And he would just say, it'll burn. They'll be driving past a nice neighborhood, a beautiful house. And go, oh, wow, look at that house. And he goes, it'll burn. It's all going to burn. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. The old things will pass away. Everything will burn, right? That's the eternal perspective. It's all going to burn anyway. So three questions. What is mammon? What is the spirit of mammon? We're going to move along now to, is money evil? The second question to ask yourself, is money evil? Some people actually misquote what it says in the word. 1 Timothy 6:10, it's not money that's evil. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierce themselves with many sorrows. It's not money that's evil. It's the love of money. Money is a neutral thing. It can either do good or it could do bad depending on who carries it. Money is a terrible master, but it can be a great servant. Money is a woeful master. It says there in the end, through greediness, pierce themselves with many sorrows. Remember all those things that money promises, significance, peace, joy, meaning, a voice. All those things really actually add up through piercing our souls and our spirits and having sorrow. It's only God that can provide true riches. Amen? It's the thorny ground that Jesus warned us about. When the farmer went out to scatter the seed, representing the good news of the gospel, spread out. Some seed fall on the wayside, and the enemy comes to quickly pluck it out. Some fall on rocky ground, and so it doesn't go deep, and then it grows a little bit, but at the site of persecution, because it has no roots, that tree or that fruit starts to burn real quickly. It's not deep ground. And then some, Jesus said, it falls on rocky ground, sorry, on thorny ground, where it grows up with it, the cares and the riches of this world choking its full potential. God doesn't actually have an issue with you having money. He has an issue if money has you. And money is your master. And so because it is your master, you'll love it more than you love God. You'll be loyal to it more than you are loyal to the word of God. So God is saying, would you choose him over money? To realize that he is the provider. Money, can I just say, and listen very carefully, money, it doesn't solve your problems. God solves your problems. Let me give you an example from scripture. Pharaoh and Egypt, one of the most wealthiest nations of the world at that time. Had it not been for a man of God by the name of Joseph, who interpreted Pharaoh's dreams to save up 7 years of plenty, for the 7 years of famine to come, no matter how much money you have, Egypt would have found themselves in poverty and in famine and people dying everywhere around them. But because God loves the world, God loves people, He has mercy for us, and He is our true provider. And so He sent Joseph to say, this is what we need to do, to redirect money for kingdom purposes and to look after people. Joseph even said, because his brothers betrayed him, if you know that story, it led to that point. He said, what the enemy meant for harm, God had meant for good, for the salvation of many lives. Amen? All right. It says this in Luke 16. Let's go back to that scripture in verse 9. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Other translations say something like, so when you run out of money, you will find friends. What it means here in the Greek, the word fail, and Marie, I ask for your forgiveness in advance, eklipo. Eklipo? Is that proper, my Greek sister? It literally means when you die. When you die, you will be welcomed into your eternal home with some friends that you may not even realize you had made a friendship with through the partnership of the spreading of the gospel. Let me say in this way. You may have given to a missionary and along with 50 other people and supported that missionary to go to Africa or China, and they preached the good news, and those group of people have become born again Christian. They're now destined for heaven. And then when you enter eternity, you will meet these people who will say, thank you for your giving. If it wasn't for your giving, I would not be here today. Thank you for supporting that missionary, that evangelist, that man or woman of God who preached the good news, because it came to me and my household. And if you want some scriptural evidence, it says this in Philippians 1, verse 3 to 5. I thank my God every time I remember you. This is the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, that you are, in fact, partnering with the spreading of the gospel through your finances. And then chapter 4, he finishes it off with this. Now that, not that I desire your gifts, what I desire is that more be credited to your account. What is your account? Your eternal account. True riches. Jesus said, if you're unfaithful with mammon, you will be unfaithful with true riches. But if you are faithful, and how do you become faithful? Like, I'll go to that soon. But if you're faithful with what God has entrusted with resources into your hands, then you will be found faithful with true riches. What is true riches? It is the peace of God. It is the wisdom of God, the favor of God, the blessing of God. And it's more than that too, right? I have two daughters and I have a son. And I don't know, I think it's just a guy thing. I'm a little bit more relaxed with my boy. I'm not as paranoid with my boy. Like, I don't care if he starts dating in year 12. I really don't. But for my girls, they can't start dating until at least second year of Bible college, right? I don't know what it is about dads. I've done about 12 weddings now. And every time you ask, who gives away the bride today? You always see the dad like weeping and crying. And they're never ready to give the bride away. I'm like that. Last Sunday, we were ministering at our Gold Coast campus, helping launch a new building, their 1 year anniversary as well. And there's this song for all you dads in the room who've got daughters that are yet to be married, a great father to the bride dance called Butterfly Kisses. Who knows Butterfly Kisses? Every time it chokes me up. And we're driving to the church. I put it on and the girls just cringe because like, Dad, what are you doing? I tell them my plan. We're going to play this in your daddy-daughter dance at your wedding. And then a few minutes into the song, because it talks about, you know, your beautiful little child that grows up and butterfly kisses at night. They're riding on a pony. The next thing, they're at the altar. few minutes into the song, I'm driving, I'm weeping, and Jess is like, are you serious? We're like 12 and 8. Why are you getting so caught up now? I go, I've just seen that many weddings. I don't know how I'll handle myself. I really don't. I love these girls. I love my boy, yes, but the rules are a bit more relaxed. I love these girls with all my heart. You got to understand, they're priceless. They're priceless. Should that time come, second year of Bible college, that they meet a man of God, I want to know, and hear me out, church, as your pastor, I actually don't check the tithing records because the Bible says not to show favoritism to the rich and despise the poor, right? So we have an accountant for that. I'll just get general updates, but I don't actually check how much you give. For that reason, and then for another reason, I don't want to be manipulated and I don't want to manipulate. So is that okay? That means if I need to speak into your life, and just because you're giving a certain amount, I don't want to be like bound in my spirit and say, oh, maybe I shouldn't speak that truth in your life because you give this so much. None of that rubbish. But I will say this. Should a young man approach me and want to start dating my daughter, and if he's from this church, I will check his tithing records. I will just quickly Google, I'll ask the accountant, does this boy tithe? Because can I just say this with love? I don't want my girls to be dating a thief, right? That's not my words. That's the Bible. It says Malachi 3:10. But you have robbed God. How have you robbed God? So the last question, how do we become faithful in our finances? Malachi 3:10, let's go there. It's not on the screen, but let's go there now. It says, will a man rob God? Yet, Malachi 3 verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. This is how good God is. That they may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not throw open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. We can actually be thieves when it comes to our finances and God. And so for me, as a father of two beautiful children who I consider priceless, who are my true riches, for me, I want to ensure that I'm going to entrust them to a faithful man of God. That they, I mean, if they can't even get the dollars and cents right, how are they going to get my girls right? They're a handful. You know what I mean? No, I'm kidding. They're great. They're amazing girls. It's like that with us, true riches. That God, we personally, as your pastors, we give over and above. We give our tithes, like Malachi 3 says, and our offerings. And then every year that we do a miracle offering, we give over and above that. I'll wrap it up with this, that there's three levels of giving in the Bible. There's your tithes. There's your offerings. I learned this from Pastor Robert Morris. And then what do you think the third level is? Your tithes is your 10%, right? What you have been able to earn as a result of God's blessing in your life through your job or your business. Your offerings is above your 10%. And then what do you think the third level is? It's the extravagant offerings. It's the offering of like David, the 21 billion into the building of the temple. It's like the extravagant offering of Solomon. You know, when he had the dream of from God, what is it that you want? And Solomon didn't say, I want wealth and riches. He said, I want your wisdom. And God said, because you did not ask for wealth or riches, I will give you wisdom, but I will also bless you with wealth and riches. But do you know what he gave leading up to that point? 1,000 bulls. The custom of that time was only a bull, one bull. But Solomon in his heart, because he loved the Lord, he gave an extravagant offering. And so for Jess and I, we give an extravagant offering above our tithes and offerings. I'll never share the amount unless God directs us to. But every year we increase it. And every year I wonder, how will God meet this budget? And he does. I probably don't have time to share a story, but maybe a quick one. 2020, lockdowns kick in. And people are losing their jobs, losing hours. And the Lord said, will you trust me now in the land of famine? Genesis 26 was the word for many churches. But Isaac sowed in the land of famine and he reaped 100-fold in the same year. I don't feel to share the exact amount, but it's a ridiculous amount. And I've only done one wedding at that point in February. And I never actually ask you guys if you want to get married. I'll never ask for money. I'll just ask for the fees for the wedding certificate and maybe for some transport logistic costs. I mean, if you want to get married in Hawaii, that's great. Just fly me out. Pay for that. That's cool. Especially the first one, right? And so we're giving all this, like, just secretly. Above our tithes and offerings, above our miracle offering amount, we're also giving in secret, like the Bible says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And every time people say, you have no idea the timing of this $100 gift, $150 gift, $200 gift, just random stuff. We're giving it out, giving it out, giving it out. 6 months later, after this wedding, this couple rings me and they said, we felt from God to give you a gift. I said, you know what? I don't ask for this. And you're my first gig. Oh, good, I'm sorted. I said, no, we felt to give you a gift. Gets my bank details. I look at my account a few minutes later, go, oh my goodness, this is in the thousands. This is for a wedding. Celebrants don't get this amount. I go, did you make an error? Was it meant to be in the hundreds? Even then, that's generous. I said, no. God said, he sees what you're doing. He wants to applaud you and reward you. That is the God that we serve. So we continue giving. We gave over and above that ridiculous amount that came in. We continue to give and support. You know, remember what it says in Luke 16, verse 9, that this unrighteous mammon you will make friends with and you will be welcomed into eternal home. One of those people that we blessed was in fact an unsaved man, but started to come into the life of the church. He, as a laborer, he had a sore back, and the Lord said, now it's his turn. Give him a $150 gift. And so just quietly, bank details, $150 gift. He was just so touched by that gift. He came to our outdoor service. Remember, we had five services outdoors because we couldn't be in here. With his sore back, he gets healed. He gives his life to Jesus. And I forgot about the story until last week at the Gold Coast because he moved out there with his family. And he said, you know, thank you so much for your gift of $150. It came at such a crucial time. And it helped us so much. And now I'm on fire for the Lord. I'm going through some major storms right now. But I can't imagine what life would be without God. You can turn. Sorry, not you. Well, yes, you through your partnership with God. Only God can turn mammon into souls, money into souls, into true riches. So as we just prepare our hearts today, let's just take a moment to just ask Holy Spirit, what is it, God, that you want, Lord, as an act of sacrifice, as an act of worship? What is it that you want us to lay down and say, God, this is all yours anyway, like David said, it all comes from your hand anyway. And we know that you are so good to turn whatever we give into souls, into true riches, that when we step into eternity, we will have people that perhaps we haven't met on this side of heaven, from Australia, from Frankston, surrounding areas, from the nations of the world, to say thank you. Thank you for your giving, because it has resulted in the gospel coming to me and then my household. So Father, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you, Lord, that this is true riches. But beyond that, you are the perfect Father, such a loving Father, that you want to reward those who diligently seek you, even in the area of finances, who trust you in this way, that you are no man that you shall lie nor change your mind, that you said if we were to give to you, God, that you will open the windows of heaven, because you can entrust it to those who are willing to continue to have open hearts and open hands to resource your kingdom. And Lord, we know we need much to do much as well, God, through your provision and through your guidance in how we steward all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. So what we're going to do, if you feel to, if we get the slide up, thanks, Steph. There's two areas, our miracle offering fund, and then there's the claim. So that's a general account, by the way, and it just helps us do what we do and expand. Just a quick note from our accountant. Some of us are still giving to the old account. Bank of Melbourne has switched to NAB. So can we please go to National Australia Bank for the giving, because we need to close the other account. And then the other one is the claimed land building fund. So those are two areas that you can choose to give to. And if you want to give through a pledge, you may not have the finances ready today, but you feel, you know, you from God, a certain amount that you want to lay down as a act of worship. Can you please just raise your hand and our ushers will get you with the giving slip. Fill out your details and the pledge amount. Let's do that. Amen. Yep, there's some hands here. Thank you. And just let us know as well. Awesome. True riches. Souls. Lives changed, healed, delivered. I have the best job in the world, if I can say that. I mean, I'll do this anyway. If I was in corporate, I was doing this anyway. I was telling people about Jesus on the streets anyway. But to be able to do this with you all and lead you in this way, it's a huge honor. We don't take lightly what you guys sow into this house. We pray over it. We ask Holy Spirit, how do you want this directed? So we want to say thank you in advance for your giving. It does go into fruitful soil and diligent hands as well, and faithful hands. And when you're ready, maybe we can have the band up. When you're ready, why don't you just come up and drop your pledge or your offering? That'd be amazing. And as we do that, we never close the meeting without giving people the opportunity to get to know God and get right with God. Everything will burn. Everything will burn. Including, the Bible says, our souls, if we don't get right with God. If I could just be blunt, right? But it's not God's will, the Bible says, that any of us should perish. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, which includes you, friends, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I've come from a Catholic background and I thought I was okay. It wasn't until I came across Jesus' own very words, you must be born again. Otherwise, you will not see or enter into the kingdom of heaven. Are you born again? We are dead in our sins, the Bible says, but we are made alive in him. We are dead in our trespasses and our sins. You're the walking dead. And if you don't get right with God on this side of heaven, then what you're effectively saying to him is, no, thank you. I will do it my way. And then when you step into eternity, he will honor your choice. He gives us that free will choice today, friends. The Bible says in Hebrews, there's a day appointed for which we will all die and stand before judgment. Don't let it be the non-believer's judgment for you. Let it be the believer's judgment, that your life here on earth that you represent for God will give you the rewards, the true riches and the eternal rewards. So if there's anyone in the room, every eye is closed and head bowed right now. No one looking. If you know you need to get right with God, if you know you need to get right with God, why don't you just slip up your hand real quick? No one looking around. Does anyone need to get right? Yeah, thank you. Is there anyone else? Yeah, I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Yep, I see that hand. Anyone else? Yeah, let's just stand to our feet. This is beautiful. This is my favorite part of the service. When we see people just give their hearts to God or get right with God. And let's just pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving me, for sending your Son as an act of love. Jesus, I honor you and I thank you for living a sin-free life. To wear the crown of thorns, to be beaten, bruised, and whipped as an act of the perfect sacrifice that will atone for my sins and wash all my sins away. There's no other way to heaven but through you, Jesus. And so, God, I ask for your forgiveness of my sins. I turn away from my life of sin and I turn to you. Wash me clean by the blood of the Lamb. be my Lord and Savior, Jesus. Enter my heart. Be my best friend. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. This is the best part. Because we know what this means, right, family? It means that you're plucked. If you prayed that prayer, if you meant it, whether you raised your hand or you didn't, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it from the bottom of your heart, the Bible says, behold, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, you are now in Christ Jesus. The old has passed and the new has come. And you are saved, friends. The Bible says, if you declare with your mouth, believe in your heart that He is Lord, you shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell, to be with Him forever.